The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Luke 14, 1 to 14. Listen to the word of the Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you will start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. You will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. This story reads like a James Bond movie, when a wealthy elite villain invites Bond to a dinner to observe him closely, and to see what Bond is capable of, and to find an opportunity to eliminate him. However, Bond used this as an opportunity to observe the host, figure out his motives, and spy on his secret schemes to obtain power to destroy the world. As the story goes, Jesus was invited by a leader of the Pharisees for dinner on the Sabbath. It says they were watching him closely. Pharisees were the ruling class of the community and the gatekeepers of the religion of the day. Jesus was, you know, a new kid in town, but he was gaining a lot of followers at this moment because of his fresh teaching and bold miracles. Jesus' fame had become a threat to the political and religious leaders of that time. Therefore, they invited him to the dinner, not to befriend him, but to observe him closely, to find fault on him, on this troublemaker, so that they might defame or even eliminate him. That's what they did eventually. Since Jesus had many followers by now, they couldn't just destroy him publicly without proving him to be a false teacher or a false prophet. Now, the irony is that they are in turn observed by Jesus. Jesus knew he was being watched, but he used the opportunity to teach them some important lessons of life. And just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. Now, dropsy is a type of illness with a swelling bone, torso, and swelling limbs. The Bible didn't say why this man was at this dinner party. It could have been a trap set up by the Pharisees, because rumor had it that Jesus didn't observe the Mosaic laws. If they could prove him to be so, then they could get him arrested and punished for teaching a heresy. According to the law, they are not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So they might have planted this man to appear in front of Jesus to see what he could do, what Jesus would do. Jesus took the bait and turned it into an opportunity to challenge these religious leaders. He asked, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. If they didn't plant this man in front of Jesus, they would have just said no, because that's what they believe, and that's their interpretation of the Mosaic laws. But just as they put Jesus to the test, Jesus turned around and put them to the test by asking this question. Their silence could also mean that they are unsure of what the law allows and what not. Jesus' question might have kept them thinking, which is important. Keeping the Sabbath holy by not working or by not healing, or by loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the law also, which is more important. Since they were silent, Jesus upped the level of challenge. He could have got himself arrested by doing this, because he violates the law as they interpret it. But being the Lord of the law, he put the Pharisees to the test. He healed the man with dropsy right there and sent him away. By this, he gave them an opportunity to arrest him. Since everyone is silent, he turned it into a teaching moment. He said, "If one of you has a child on an ox has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" They were not able to answer this question because they observed the law religiously, but not relationally. They didn't understand the mind of God and the purpose behind the laws. They followed the religious rituals, but never developed a divine disposition. At this moment, the state of Israel is under Roman occupation. King Herod and the ruling class were corrupt, and they were puppets of the Roman Empire. However, these are not important at all. If you read the Old Testament and study the context of the entire Bible, you will find that the country being enslaved by a foreign country is not that important. Being invaded by them is not that important. Being exiled is not important. And being occupied is not important. What's important is the hearts of the people being away from God when their heart is occupied by the devil. At this moment in time, these Pharisees and religious leaders were Israel's only hope to recover from the foreign occupation. But they are all corrupt from top down. Look at the Old Testament stories of foreign occupation and exiles. The restoration of the nation starts with the restoration of their faith. So Jesus was pushing the reformation of faith, because without it, they would never be free. Freedom comes from having the habits of the free. The reason America has been the land of the free continuously for almost 300 years is because the majority of us have the disposition of the free. These Pharisees had a bad disposition, and that's why they couldn't lead the country out of the Roman occupation. They cannot free their own people from slavery. They must reinterpret the law correctly and restore their divine habits. That's what religious reformation is about. The next verse says, When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. Even though Jesus was invited to the dinner to be watched closely, he ended up watching them and he noticed their unhealthy habits or undivine disposition. The guests rushed to the dinner table and picked the VIP seats so that they could appear important in the crowd. This triggered Jesus' moment of teaching. Now, recently, I became fascinated with the science of human habits. I've learned that the way you do one thing reveals the way you do most everything. Now, if you like to take the place of honor at the dinner party, you would likely to do similar things with your finance, with your works, and with your daily living. You would chase after vanity. You would buy things to show off, or you would dress to impress. Jesus said, when you are invited to a wedding party, sit down at the lowest place. And let the host move you up to the right place, because you were not sure what other guests he has invited. He then said, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a divine disposition. As the Bible says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He's talking about Jesus, right? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Being humble is a divine habit or a divine disposition. Next, Jesus taught another divine habit. That is the hospitality to the disadvantaged. He said that your party guests should include the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you'll be blessed for that because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. According to the context of the gospel, Jesus never wanted us to follow these rules ritually or religiously. He didn't want us to pick the lowest seat and invite the poor because he said so. He wanted us to do it naturally and habitually. Intentional humility is not genuine humility. We should be humble and hospitable by disposition. When those guests picked the place of honor, they did it habitually according to their disposition. A habit is what you do without thinking. Now, whether it is a good habit or a bad habit, you do it without thinking. Jesus wanted them to reform their habits before they can reform their country or their community or their society. Through this passage, Jesus wants you and me to reform the divine habits or develop the divine disposition in us before we can reform the community or the country. How do you cultivate new healthy habits and get rid of the old, the unhealthy ones that led you to where you are now? So I've learned a secret to change habits as I study these days. Without this secret, you will be swimming upstream. The moment you stop striving, you flow back downstream to the old habits. The secret is to change the identity. Now, I used to smoke from my first year of college to for about 10 years. My father was my smoking buddy, and he always throw me a cigarette when he smokes, and I also offer him one when I smoke. And for example, there are two smokers who try to quit. Someone offered them a cigarette. And the first person says, no, thank you, I quit smoking. The second person says, no, thank you, I'm not a smoker. Who do you think will eventually quit successfully? The first person maintained his identity as a smoker, who is quitting, the second person no longer have that identity as a smoker, because the first one said, I quit smoking. The second one said, I'm not a smoker. This is a matter of identity here. So the first person is likely to regress because one's habit is tied to his or her identity. Jesus saw that the world is going to hell in a handbasket because we have taken a wrong identity. You know, the Bible calls it sin. He came to restore our identity as the children of God. He wants us to have this new identity as children of God. He stretched his hands on the cross, telling us that God loves us so much and that we are worth dying for. He basically sent a strong message of our new identity. So we could do better than what we are doing right now. We deserve better once we have the new identity. The Bible says, you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. This new identity is like a divine seed sowed in our heart. If you let it take roots and grow, it will bear the fruit of the divine spirit or the fruit of the divine disposition and the habits known as the fruit of the spirit. These will become our new habits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which will bring freedom and felicity to our life, family, community, and the country. So let's close by reading together aloud this verse. I changed the you to we so that it will be more personal. Let's read together. We are a chosen people. We are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. So we can show others the goodness of God, for he called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once we had no identity as a people, now we are God's people. Once we received no mercy, now we have received God's mercy. Until we meet again, let's keep cultivating a fruitful life. May God bless you all. Amen.